This is Part B of the Stealth Revolution in Government and Religion in the Last Days, Number 5. One of the great struggles through the history of the United States has been to fight against a central bank. And as you know, that did not occur till beginning about 100 years ago. And he has a section here, Retaking of America, that is, by the bankers in Europe, because they lost control of the vast wealth and market in America. So during the Civil War, the European financiers were in favor of an American Civil War that would return the United States to its colonial status. They admitted privately that they were not necessarily interested in preserving slavery. The Civil War was not based upon liberation of slaves. It was based, as Howard Zinn described it, a clash of elites. The Northern elite wanting economic expansion, free land, free labor, and a free market, a high productive protective tariff for manufacturers, and a Bank of the United States. Whereas the slave interest opposed all that. The Civil War, which lasted from 1861 to 1865, resulted in hundreds of thousands of deaths, during which Congress also set up a national bank, putting the government into partnership with the banking interest, guaranteeing their profits. Now, one man tried to get away from the Federal Reserve, and his name was President John F. Kennedy. And he authorized the printing of money as Congress voted it, contrary to giving it to the Federal Reserve. So you see what happens when you go against these guys. So here's what Lincoln said here. As Lincoln himself stated, the money powers prey on the nation in times of peace and conspire against it in times of adversity. Now, I want you to think about what's happening today as I read this. The question was about Kennedy. He wanted to go back to Lincoln monetary system, okay, where he issued the money himself through the Congress rather than going to a central bank, see. And the bankers didn't like that because they lost control. And here, they help foment the Civil War for the very purpose of bringing about a central bank to control America. Most people don't know that. And most people don't realize that the Catholic nations and the Vatican were behind the financing for the southern states. There's a whole lot more intrigue that goes into that. And all assassinations are made to appear as if a single man did it. Not correct. Now, continuing here. He says, the banking interests are more despotic than a monarchy, more insolent than autocracy, more selfish than bureaucracy. They denounce as public enemies all who question their methods and throw light upon their crimes. Now, this is quoting President Lincoln. He said, I have two great enemies, the Southern Army in front of me and the bankers in the rear. Of the two, the one at my rear is my greatest foe. As a most undesirable consequences of war, corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption in high places will follow. The money power will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until the wealth is aggregated in the hands of the few and the republic is destroyed. Now, The whole purpose of a banking system is to get people in debt. Everything they do is debt. Everything they do is to collect interest. Everything they do is to control. You need to understand that. Now then, he interjects in a report, throughout much of the 1800s and into the 1900s, the United States suffered several economic crises. One of the most significant was the Great Depression of 1873. So Howard Zinn explained, the crisis was built into a system that was chaotic in its nature, in which only the very rich were secure. Now, I want you to understand how history repeats itself, because the bankers are up to the same thing now, not just for America, because they've already conquered America, but for the world. It was a system of periodic crises. 1837, 1857, 1873, and later 1893. Interesting, 1893 comes up again. 1907, 1919, and 1929 that wiped out small businesses and brought cold, hunger, and death to working people, while the fortunes of the Astors, Vanderbilts, Rockefellers, Morgan kept growing through war and peace, crises and recovery. During the 1873 crises, Carnegie was capturing the steel market and Rockefeller was wiping out his competitors in oil. In the early 20th century, European and American banking interest achieved what they had desired for over a century within America, the creation of a privately owned central bank. Federal Reserve is not government run. It appears to be government supervised, but it isn't. I don't know how many of you saw the news clipping where a representative was questioning Ben Bernanke, who had access to some records of the Federal Reserve, and 300 representatives have signed on with Ron Paul, calling for an audit of the Federal Reserve. So they had some things that he was reading. And he asked Ben Bernanke, well, what about this transaction of $500 billion by the Federal Reserve with the central bank in New Zealand? Who did that money go to? He says, I couldn't tell you. Because it was central bank to central bank transfer. Hello? How many of those go on every day? Central bank to central bank. It's amazing how clever they are and how much they know. And when they are questioned, I can't remember. I don't know. It's not in my report. So he was really nailed to the wall by that. So if you have a chance to see that clip again, watch it. All right. Now, the central bank in America, continuing now, it was created through the collaboration of American and European bankers, primarily the Morgans, Rockefellers, Kuhn, Loebs, and Warburg. So we have a foreign entity from the very beginning, because those in America are actually agents of the foreign entities. Now, let's come back here and read Deuteronomy 28 for just a minute. Let's read this in the light of what banks do with debt. And since their goal is to what? Have everybody in debt to them, right? Is that fulfilled today? What is the crisis that we have facing us today? Because as a nation, we've turned our back on God. We have rejected the word of God. We have embraced the politics and the financing of Satan the devil by the super elite of the world who are, I submit to you, strangers in our land. All right, let's read it. Verse 43, Deuteronomy 28. The stranger dwelling among you shall get up above you very high. Are the bankers up there very high? Is everybody dependent on a banker? Yes, indeed. Do you have money? Yes, we covered last week, Federal Reserve note, which is a debt instrument to pay debt. And you really just reduce debt. You never pay it off. And as we discussed, you never really own the title to anything, even if your house is free and clear, because it's not free and clear because the state can tax it. And as long as the state can put a lien on it, you only have beneficiary title to it. You do not have allodial title to it. Allodial title, as we covered, means you own property which cannot be liened or taxed. And if you give up your allodial rights to borrow, you will never get back allodial rights, and I don't think there is anyone in America that has allodial rights to their land anymore. Shall get up very high, and you shall come down very low. He shall loan to you. Remember, every dollar that it is printed by the Federal Reserve is backed by Treasury notes because the Federal Reserve is lending it to the federal government. And there, comment was made, this is stupidity, which it is. We're borrowing money from a private group, though it says Federal Reserve. That doesn't mean it's run by the government. It's authorized by the government, but not run by the government. You shall not loan to him. He shall be the head, you shall be the tail. Does that not describe those in Washington, D.C. today? What can one man do back in Washington, D.C. to change anything? They don't even represent the people. They represent the powers to be to bring in their policies to further enslave America, because the American people, under the guise of being religious, have rejected God, rejected His commandments, rejected His truth, rejected their history, and have become brainless borrowers indebted to the bankers and slaves of the government. And now they want to make the change shorter and the noose tighter. And all these curses shall come upon you, and you read all the rest of them. They're all right there today, actively happening today. And overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes, which He commanded you. Well, that's why it's so very important, brethren, the commandments of God, even for carnal people, in the letter of the law. God's greatest creation goes about and ignores God and rejects Him and pretends that they are gods. What an insane proposition, when the whole plan of God and everything that He has for people is nothing but love and goodness and truth and eternal life. So that's why they're coming. Oh, it's not fair. Nothing is fair. Notice, this is on the Israelites from that day forward, and they shall be a sign, be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your seed forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, they shall be taken away. And you have already mortgaged them away by borrowing, by being indebted to the bankers. That is their whole goal. Is this nation now totally enslaved and sunk in debt And it's kind of like the way that it's going on in Washington, D.C., it's kind of like the band playing Britannia while the Titanic is sinking, as if our wondrous glory is always going to be here. So here's what happened. And also, the names that I read, you need to add to it the name of Warburgs. After the 1907 panic in the United States, instigated by J.P. Morgan, isn't it interesting that J.P. Morgan exists today and survived all the problems that we are facing economically? Pressure was placed upon the American political establishment to create a stable banking system. Remember, never waste a crisis, right? In 1910, a secret meeting of financiers was held on Jekyll Island. Look up the book, The Creature of Jekyll Island, where they planned for the creation of a National Reserve Association with 15 major regions controlled by a board of commercial bankers but empowered by the federal government to act like a central bank, creating money and lending reserves to private banks. And when 1929 came, no bank could be part of the recovery unless they joined the Federal Reserve System. That depression wiped out all private banks. So here's what they were to do. Act like a central bank, creating money and lending reserves to private banks. President Woodrow Wilson followed the plan almost exactly as outlined by the Wall Street financiers and added to it the creation of a Federal Reserve Board in Washington, which the president would appoint. The Federal Reserve, or the Fed, raised its own revenue, drafted its own operating budget, and submitted neither to Congress, while the seven governors shared power with the presidents of 12 reserve banks, each serving the private bank in its region, and the commercial banks held stock shares in each of the 12 Federal Reserve banks. Now he ends the report. Remember, this is 12 pages, and I've read to you maybe 8 paragraphs. The retaking of the United States by international banking interest was achieved with barely a whimper of opposition. Where the British Empire failed in taking the United States militarily, international bankers succeeded covertly. Stealth revolution through the banking system. The Federal Reserve has had the effect of cementing an alliance between New York and London bankers. All right. Question is, where do we go from here? What's on the docket? All right. I have another report that I'll just tell you about. They're having trouble selling the U.S. debt obligations. And I noticed that the 10-year Treasury notes, you go on CNBC in the morning and you watch the runners at the top and the bottom, especially the one at the top, and you look at 1-year, 5-year, and 10-year treasuries. There for a while, they were running, you know, like 0.5%. Now, the price of them, which the price is par 100%, let's use the figure of $10,000. You want to buy a 10-year treasury note today. You can buy it at 94.75 on Friday, with an interest rate of nearly 4%. The 30-year treasuries were discounted to 95% and nearly 5% interest. And they're still having a hard time selling them because we are printing debt like crazy, printing money like crazy, and everybody is in debt. The federal government, all state governments, and here in California, they should have slashed the budget by 25%. And instead of laying off people, they should have said, all right, your job or a cut of 25%. Which would you like? Because, as Arnold said, we're out of money. I wonder if he's the Terminator of California. Who knows? Have to have a little humor there. But nevertheless, do all the cutting you want, but what's going to happen? Revenues on taxes are going down. Everything is going down. So they really should have cut about 50% to make it really stick and work. But no one can do that, and that is politically totally unpopular. And those who are running Sacramento are worse than the inmates running the insane asylum in Washington, D.C. All right. Here's a report toward a global currency question mark toward the integration of the dollar and the euro. Now, remember last year, in October and November, when the banking crisis really hit the point. And the reason there was the panic was because they were drawing money out of the mutual funds at such a fast rate that it would be impossible to have any reserves to cover them. And it was being done, and we're never told who did it. See? Who holds the power of enough money to do that? Grandma and grandpa? State governments? Other central banks? Yes, other central banks. The super elite rich in the world. Now, next December or January, when they have, and I think it's very interesting how they do this, the super elite meet in Switzerland every year, about 300 of the most powerful men in the world, including the central bankers, including the treasury secretaries of all the major nations, including those who have billions like George Soros, the wealthy Arabs, and so forth. They all gather to plan for the next year what they're going to do. And the only way that those funds could have been drawn out of those mutual funds as fast as they were to threaten the collapse of the United States financial system was the big boys did it deliberately to cause the crisis. Because remember, the stock market had reached its high, right? What goes up? You've made all the money you can going up. You brought oil up to $150 a barrel. It can't go any higher. So how are we going to make money because it's not going up? Turn the other side of the coin and take it down. So all of those who bought at a high price now must sell at a low price, and you bid it low, so you get all the money. It's exactly what happened. And it came so close to a total collapse of the United States banking system, financial system, especially as centered in New York, that Bernanke called the leaders of Congress together, and he told them that we would be bankrupt in days unless they acted. And so what did we have? The emergency rescue package, right? Never waste a good crisis. What did we have come right after that? What was President George Bush's reaction? Now, he did this in October, November, and it's continued. What was the solution? Oh, we have to have controls on these things worldwide, right? Well, it was controlled worldwide. That's why it happened. All right. But we've got to control the banks. In other words, we've got to consolidate the central banking system's power over the world. So what did he call for? Anybody remember? Someone said Henry Paulson. No, he's just a pawn in it. He's nothing. What did he call for? What did he set up immediately? Not the stimulus plan. That came later. And it was hosted in Washington, D.C. by the United States government, and it was what? The G20. Now, what is the G20? That's the group of 20 countries and their central banks. To have what? Uniform regulations worldwide so this crisis can't happen again. Right? Yes. Wonderful. Now let's talk about what they're up to. Remember, before you take over a government, you take over the economics and the banking system. That's how they're working now. And remember when this came up, what did we discuss? We said they're first going to bring in a world banking system and then follows a world government, correct? That's what we discussed, right? It's happening exactly that way. So this is written by Global Research, so you can go on and look that up. With a view of restoring financial stability, world leaders have called upon the group of 20 countries, G20, to instigate, instigate. Instead of initiate, instigate. A new global currency based on the IMF Special Drawing Rights, SDRs. And what did we discuss back then when the G20 was announced? They are going to use the World Bank and the IMF. Guess what they're using? The IMF. Correct? All right. Now, talks a little bit about how the thing in Iran was worked. The little secret that is unknown to most people is this. The reason we had to invade Iraq was not because Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, which he did have at one time, but was because he told the Americans and the oil people, I am not going to purchase any oil in American dollars anymore. I'm going to do it in euros. And all the other oil countries were about to do that. Now you have to stop that, don't you? Because that would collapse the American system too soon. So that's why the war. And it was done to exclude Russian and Chinese interests in the Middle East and the Central Asian oil fields. Now, here's what we have right now. The establishment of a new global currency and central banking system is an instrument of global economic domination, which is intimately related to the broader U.S.-NATO military agendas. Think of the war in Afghanistan. Who's there besides the Americans? NATO. Some think that that's practice for invasion of Russia. I don't know. What is more likely to occur is the formation of a global proxy currency predicated largely on the euro and the U.S. dollar, in response to the euro-dollar hegemony, Russia and China and members of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization may decide to develop bilateral trading arrangements in ruples or yuan. Now, then it breaks it down. The IMF recently presented a plan for issuing debt-denominated SDRs rather than U.S. dollars. And it has a percentage of U.S. dollars, 63%, percentage of euro, 41%, percentage of Japanese yen, 18.4%, percentage of the British pound, 9%. So this tells us what? Is this a precursor of the devaluation of the dollar by 40%? Of the euro by an equivalent amount? Don't know. The media has heralded this decision as a major innovation. Of course, they own the media. Surely they would. When in fact, the Brentwood institutions have for many years been issuing debt-denominated SDRs. Today, the SDR has only limited use as a reserve asset, and its main function is to serve as a unit of account of the IMF. Now, that is going to change. SDRs would no longer be an accounting unit, but a unit of currency in a basket. Actual central banking functions, however, would not necessarily be transferred to the IMF, that is, yet. They would remain in the hands of the four continental central banks, United States Federal Reserve, European Central Bank, the Bank of England, and the Bank of Japan. That's what they're looking at. So to get a report out this way, tells you pretty much what it's going to be. So this means that the SDR would be a proxy currency. And the IMF would formally be responsible for overseeing a global currency. And what is important is this. All of the money making remains in the hands of private central bankers. Now, they can start pushing for world government once they get this in. Here, last winter, a comment was made that Russia and China were pushing for a global currency. They will get it, but they won't necessarily be a central part of it. See? But now you see how Satan stealthily does one thing one time, changes a little bit, does another thing another time, and now here we are on the verge. The only way we can save the world economy, and would you want the world economy to collapse? Of course not. And remember, if that happens, remember that American troops are in 140 countries. What's going to happen then? See, they will be not part of the currency, but they will be part of the G20. Central Bank of Russia, Central Bank of China, Central Bank of India, Central Bank of Brazil, etc., those leading banks. See, the top 20 industrial countries of the world controlling 98% of the wealth of the world. Now, once that is in place, so we'll see it come in as the ultimate rescue from our financial woes. Now, we're going to take a hit financially. The pound is going to take a hit. The euro is going to take a hit. Everybody's going to take a hit. But you see, we have asked the question, which is this. The governing elite who control the money and the wealth in the world want to do this and accomplish it with the least loss to them. They don't care about anybody else. So it will be something which will be fast, and the change will take place very quickly. And then when you bring in a global government, now a global government then controls all policy of war and peace, right? The central banks control all policy of monetary and trade. And also, they will not finance anyone for war. See, you can't have a country set up its own printing presses now and print out money to start a war like Hitler did. So, it's going to be something. So this is where it's headed, far as I can see. So be alert and see what you can see. And see, everybody's stuck, right? Every person in the world. See? You have money, it's denominated by some bank. Is that not correct? You have a credit account, that's denominated in some currency, correct? You use credit cards. Oh, I don't use credit cards, I use debit cards. Not much difference, you're just paying as you go, that's all. But you're still using it, right? You're right on. Mention about a cashless society. That is the perfect plan. See, and the way to perfect this system is to bring in the mark of the beast. See? That's the ultimate. But remember what we've discussed down through the years. You can't bring in the mark of the beast until you have a new world numbering system, correct? Isn't that right? So, your bank will now have a couple of numbers added to it on the bottom of your check to make it part of the world banking system. You then have a new international number. It's not yet on your right hand or in your forehead, but that's the last step before it. And what are you going to do? The bank says, all right, with this new system, we have to issue new checks. We have to adjust your bank account. And you have no say, and you have no vote, and you have no control, and you're one step away from total enslavement. See, and the mark of the beast is going to be more than buying and selling. They are going to control the thoughts. That's right. So that's where it's going. So you read any commentary 50 years old or older, going back and trying to analyze Revelation 13, and especially Seventh-day Adventist commentaries, and Ellen G. White, they don't have a clue. They do not have a clue. And the only way that we can understand it is not because we are who we are, but because we're following what God wants us to do, and we are watching, and we are looking, and we are weighing these things. That's the only reason that we can have the understanding. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.